Dear listener, we hope that you've been enjoying the variety of podcasts that we have on our network. Now is your opportunity to help us by telling us a little more about you. Please visit jcastnetwork.org/survey and complete our listener survey so that we can learn more about you and your listening habits. Again, please visit jcastnetwork.org/survey. Thanks so much.
Hour, we've got a magnificent show for you. We have scheduled Mr. Bernard-Henri Lévy, who is in France, the equivalent of a rock star. I've told people that I'm having Bernard Lévy on my show, and people just like jumped up and almost kissed me. These were French people. We're going to talk about him. He's making an inroad here in the United States with a book called The Genius of Judaism, Bernard-Henri Lévy. We have also the portion of the week is the portion of Mishpatim. It is chapter 21 and following from the book of Exodus. No storyline, lots of laws, really good stuff, don't worry. We have a pretty incredible story at the end, as a matter of fact. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met with President Trump this week. The meeting proved nothing more than a photo op for both leaders. Trump said he doesn't care how there is peace in the Middle East, just so long there is peace. Thank you, Mr. Trump. January saw a sharp rise in terrorist attacks in Israel. 96 attacks were reported during the month. 81 involved firebombs. This is the first rise in numbers since last June. The Israel consul in Miami received a bomb threat on Thursday. The building was evacuated after a call coming from the consul said that explosives were planted in the building. That's the tactic they use, so they can't be traced. No bombs were found. 63 bomb scares were called into JCCs around the country during January. The number of hate groups in the United States rose in 2016, and most of them subscribed to anti-Semitic views. Last year, 917 hate groups were active, up from 892 in 2015. The whole thing seems perplexing to me. Why do we allow hate groups? Anyway, Rabbi Ari Edelkop, the Chabad rabbi of Sochi, Russia, where the Russian Olympics were held, was expelled by the Russians as a threat to Russia's national security. Edelkop is an American, which is basically his only threat. In what has turned into a major diplomatic exercise, Israel sent 100 units of blood to Peru for an Israeli tourist who contracted a rare blood infection while backpacking in the Andes. Evidently, you cannot import blood into Peru. Zohar Katz needs 15 to 20 units of blood a day to cleanse her system before doctors can begin treating the infection. That's pretty serious. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music, and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have time for a little music before we get things up and running. This is brand new, a week old, Avram Fried. The song is called Children Playing.
צופה בילדיי, משחקים בחול, נראה שזה קרה ממש אתמול, הכל נגמר עובר לבלי שוב, קל מאוד לפספס מה שחשוב. עכשיו שהם גדלו, אני לבד, נשארתי בחיי בלי אף אחד, אולי לא מאוחר מדי, אפשר עוד לתקן, ודאי. זמן! אי אפשר לקנות בכסף, איך שהוא חולף, זהו משהו רציני. זמן, אי אפשר לקנות בכסף, איך שהוא חולף, זהו משהו רציני.
That it was just so yesterday. How did the moments melt away, leaving me all alone and yearning. Sands in the glass keep slipping by, can't hold on even if I try. All that I can do is sigh, the time that will never be returning.
Time is so much more than money, life we live and everything we give.
Time,
clock is wild and running.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
the life we get to remember or forget.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. I have on the line Monsieur Bernard Henri Lévy, who's written the book The Genius of Judaism, recently translated from the French into the English. It is a pleasure to welcome you and quite an honor, Monsieur Lévy.
Thank you. A pleasure for me.
Now, when I talk to people around the town here in Detroit, and I said that I'm having Bernard Henri Lévy on my show, it kind of didn't, no big reaction. But if there was somebody who had any tie whatsoever with France, they lived in France, they were visited France regularly, so their eyes popped out of their head and they jumped in and said, "You're having Bernard Lévy on, how, ooh, ah." So if you could just tell us about yourself, before we begin the interview as to who you are.
Who I am? I am.
This is not an existentialist question.
It's a very difficult question, but I am a free spirit, free fighter, fighting for universalist values, starting from a background which is a Jewish background, starting from Jewish values. I am a Jew who implement his Judaism in the battles, in the fights, in the commitments of the world. This is who I am, basically.
Okay, I appreciate that. Our audience, our listening audience, does appreciate that as well. Okay, so you've written a book. It's called The Genius of Judaism. And just to let you know, we here in Detroit, my wife and I, started a new Center for Jewish Culture, and we're starting a book club. And the very first book that we are going to be reviewing in the book club is going to be The Genius of Judaism by Bernard-Henri Lévy.
Thank you, sir. I'm happy.
So when I think France, I think more anti-Semitism than I think Jewishness. Is my perception correct?
You are wrong. You are wrong because, thank God, there is also in France a very positive, affirmative, and proud Judaism. Jews in France are not only the victims of anti-Semitism, they are also people who bear on their shoulders a real stock of positive values for themselves, values for the world. No, France is not only the fatherland of anti-Semitism. It is also the fatherland of deep, strong, serious Jewish studies. And I try to be a witness of that in my book, The Genius of Judaism.
Okay, so now you start with going back to Rashi. Rashi lived about 1,000 years ago. Rashi is referred to as the primary commentary on Jewish topics, on the Bible, Chumash and Tanakh, the Gemara on Medrash. So you portray the tremendous contribution that Rashi meant to the development of French language, French society. Could you explain that, please, Bernard?
Yes, I can explain it. And I had to explain it also to French people, to my co-French citizens, because they did not know that. Rashi is one of the inventors of France itself. Why? Because he is one of the inventors of the French language. The French language, which I speak every day, me, BHL, which I speak a little better than my broken English, was first produced by Rashi. This is what I show in the chapter of my book to which you are alluding. So Rashi is not only the spine, the key of the Talmud. He is not only the biggest, greatest commentator of the verse since centuries and centuries. He has also this very special place in the history of France.
Okay, so now the development of a language requires more than, say, one person. I'm giving, for example, Esperanto, which a bunch of people got together and they tried to make this language, which didn't go anywhere. So how is it then that you're crediting Rashi for the development of a language? What were they speaking before Rashi?
Because he's the first one who, in Hebrew characters, wrote and put down on paper, if I dare say, the words and the sound and the tone of the French language. Without Rashi, we French would not have the slightest idea of what the French of the 11th century looked like, sounded like. This is one thing. And the other thing is that when you lay down the tone, the sound, and the words of a language, you make it work. You put it into motion. And in his Hebraic way, in his Hebrew characters and letters, this is exactly what Rashi did.
Mm-hmm. It seems pretty incredible to me still, because with the Tanakh, with the Bible, and the Talmud, how many French words are there? Maybe 500?
Much more than that. Much more than that. All the words of the everyday life for a Frenchman of this time, most of the words, designing, depicting a contract, a wedding, a work, an artisanal work, anything, was put on the paper in Hebrew letters by Rashi. This is a very little known thing, but phenomenon, which some scholars sort of discovered, and which I pushed more in this chapter of Genius of Judaism.
Uh-huh. If you're just joining us, our guest today is Bernard-Henri Lévy, who's written a book called The Genius of Judaism. He's a noted French philosopher. So that was 1,000 years ago. How has Judaism and Jews contributed to French society and then the development of, say, Western culture? Because as France became developed, people looked at France as being like the gold standard for culture and civilization then, Bernard.
They did a lot, and their contribution was much wider than what is generally said. For example, the French idea of republic, the French idea of social contract, the French idea which is generally attributed to Jean-Jacques Rousseau of the general will, which makes a social link. When you make the genealogy of it, the archaeology of it, when you try to see where it took shape for the first time, you discover that it took shape in the books of French theorians who were themselves inspired not by the Greek model of society, not by the Roman law, but by the pattern, by the model of the kingdom of Hebrews. This model of the second book of Samuel is the very the most important reference in all the treaties in France devoted to this idea of how to build a republic. We French and you Americans live probably under the misunderstanding that the real root of this republican idea is the Greco-Roman model, because the French Revolution said that. The French Revolution wanted to get rid with this Hebrew model and replaced it with the Greco-Roman model. But the truth is that the most important reference is certainly the reference to the kingdom of the Hebrews in the Bible. This is what made solid, vivid, vibrant the idea of republic, which is still working today in Europe.
Okay, now you have become involved with Judaic studies, and you write about various parts of the Bible that you've enjoyed and explained and see the effects of that, and even till to this day. One of the things that I've noticed is that the concept of democracy does not appear in the Bible. We have monarchies, we have socialism, we have representative governments. Democracy doesn't exist, and that seems to be in the Western world. Democracy seems to be the way to go. Would you care to carry a comment on that, Mr. Lévy?
Yes, but the idea of the critical spirit, the idea of the interpretation, the idea of the free debate, the idea of an intelligence always at work and never frozen. These are Jewish ideas, and these are components of what we call today democracy. So Probably, certainly. It was not named democracy in the Jewish text. But if words mean what they mean, the roots of it are certainly more in the Jewish text than in the military philosophy of Sparta, or in the philosophy admitting slavery of Athens, and so on. So there is an underestimation of the Jewish contribution to the most modern political ideas, which I tried to contradict in the Genius of Judaism.
Okay, so now your book, as it came out in English, is postmarked at Random House 2017. How long ago did the original version come out?
Original version in French came out 1 year ago. But in a way, I should say that the original version may be the American one, because I wrote this book for the American audience as much and maybe more than for the French audience. You asked me at the beginning of our conversation about French anti-Semitism. What I had in mind writing this book was also the American anti-Semitism. And I have it in mind more than ever. I think that there is also a tradition of anti-Semitism, alas, in America, and you are in the process, in the situation of seeing it, unfortunately, blooming again, a dark blooming, exactly in the way I describe in the Genius, in the chapter about anti-Semitism, in the Genius of Judaism.
Okay, so continue with my question. I understand that, and that's very good. Considering with the line of thought, so you presented these theories to the French people a year ago, and I'm assuming that you spoke and lectured about your book in the course of the last year to the people in France, and informing them of ideas that may seem new to them. What effect has your book had so far in the course of a year on France and the French people?
I don't know. I hope that it gave some hope to some Jews who were desperate about France. I hope that it contributed to convince a few Jews in my country that the first to leave France should not be them, but the anti-Semites. I hope that it gave them the feeling that they cannot leave a country which they built so much and so solidly. I hope that my book, which was a bestseller here in France and more generally in Europe, gave the feeling that the France without the Jews, the Europe without the Jews, would not be France and would never have been Europe. This is my hope and my contribution. In America, which is for me at least as much important, I hope to contribute, to alert, to warn my American readers or friends on the danger of an American anti-Semitism, which is coming from the two sides, from the two parts of the political spectrum, from the left and from the right. What I say in the Genius of Judaism is that, for example, the BDS, Boycott, Disinvestment, Sanction movement, is stronger than anywhere else in some parts of America, especially the West Coast. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to say in the book, and which appears to be tragically true in the last days, last weeks, is that the other anti-Semitism, the old one, the rightist one, if one dares say, is, alas, as living and in good shape in America than anywhere else. And I would like to contribute to the consciousness of that in America especially.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fascinating. Now, I've had people of various genre on the show discussing anti-Semitism, and I say somewhat tongue-in-cheek that the reason why there is anti-Semitism is because there are Semites. You know, if there wouldn't be any Jews, then there wouldn't be anybody in opposition to Jews. But
mistake. you have some countries where you have no more anti-Semitism, no more Jews.
But they're still anti-Semites.
Still anti-Semites, and more anti-Semites, much more than in places where you have a lot of Jews. Example, Austria. Huge proportion of the population feels and thinks and believes that there is too many Jews in the Austrian life. There is no Jews left. Poland today, so few Jews left. Again, the anti-Semitic feeling that the Jews control the Polish society. Remember the people of in America First, in 1940. The question of anti-Semitism was not linked by any way to the number of Jews. Jews are never responsible in any way for anti-Semitism. The existence of the Jew has nothing to do, is connected by no way to the existence of anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is a madness, is a delirium, is a passion, is a religion which has its own logic.
Okay, so what then would you say is the cause of anti-Semitism, Bernard Henri Lévy?
The cause of anti-Semitism is certainly the will to erase, to eradicate this great, but in a way heavy idea of ethics, of the supremacy of the law, and of the existence of a people which is the embodiment of these universalist and humanist values. In a way, the world would be so easier to inhabit for a lot of people if there was not the remorse, if there was not the testimony of the Jews and of their values. So the anti-Semites are people who want to get rid of all this stuff. Critic of idolatry, preeminence of the law, and so on.
Would you say that the claim of the Jews being the chosen people has a factor to it, Bernard?
They don't claim to be a chosen people. Chosen people is a word which never appears in the verse in the Bible or in the Talmud.
Ata b'chartanu mikol ha'amim. I have chosen you from among all the other nations.
Absolutely. But the verse, segula, which says chosen, is not chosen. There is a lot of words in Hebrew who could mean chosen. The word which is adopted is segula, which means something else, which means the treasure. And the treasure which the Jewish kings kept by themselves, without the help of intendant. It's a much more complicated story than that. And this is why I try to disintricate, to explain in a big part of the book. But basically, what is sure is that the law was proposed to the Jew after the fact that every single other people on earth has been proposed the law and has refused. It is in despair that God proposes the law to the Jews. So they are not chosen. They come at the end of the chain because nobody else wanted to be loaded with a burden.
You're referring to the story which we actually read in the synagogue this Shabbos yesterday, of the Almighty going around to all the nations asking if they wanted the Torah, and for whatever reason they rejected it, but the Jews said, Nasiv and Nishma, we will do it and we will understand it. So that's what you're referring to.
We will do and we will listen. Yes, mm-hmm. Of course.
Okay, so let me...
Basically, this is that. And this is at the core of the genius of Judaism.
Understood. Okay, so now let's talk about personal a little bit. If you're just joining us... If you're just joining us, our guest today is Bernard Henri Lévy. He's The Genius of Judaism is a book that he's written. You talk about a little bit about your own person. that you were raised in a somewhat secular household, but found Judaism later on. What was it that intrigued you about Judaism, Bernard?
It is not a question of intrigue. It is a question that it made me think, it made me advance, and it helped me to fight for the values which seemed to me worth to be fought for. And very soon in my life, though I came from a secular family, very quickly, very fast, I discovered, I was convinced that the Jewish text, the Jewish values, were the living heart, the beating heart of all that I thought and fought for.
Okay. Now, so what then, how would you say that the world would need to be improved? If we're going to say, like, the Jews, for example, are considered to be the dugma chayot, the living examples for the rest of the world, or the light unto the nations, which is a verse which is quoted, what do we, as the continuers of the faith, the unbroken chain since Moses, what should we be doing?
The Jews are not an example. Judaism is an example, which is something else. I, unfortunately, or maybe that is a destiny of life, the Jews are not always worth their own destiny. They are seldom at the height, at the altitude of their own message and of their own destiny. And that's what the Bible says, what the Bible says when it says that the rest of Israel is the very bearer, those who really have on their shoulders the treasure. So it's not a question of the Jews. The Jews can be unfaithful, the Judaism remains. And even if there was one faithful Jew, it might be in a way enough. If there was none, then it would be the very embodiment of the catastrophe. Thank you, sir, very much for this conversation. It meant the world for me. Thank you very much.
Okay. Can we ask you just one more question before you have to go? Or you have to go. I guess he had to go. My wife always tells me about not being abrupt when I have to leave, and thanking my guest and telling them you've won a Gnauer watch and all that kind of stuff for coming on our radio and show, but I guess he had to go. It is actually 6 hours later over there, so I guess he had an evening thing. But you've been listening to The Jewish Hour. Our guest today was Bernard Henri Lévy. He's a French philosopher. They kind of consider him like in the line with Proust and Robespierre and Voltaire and all those other people along the lines. The book is The Genius of Judaism. It's by Random House, Penguin Random House to be exact. And we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Hey, Shul Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. We have up next for your listening pleasure, this is a klezmer song. The klezmer song is called Firren dem Kala, which means escorting the bride. And let's just listen in. Thank you. Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox.
Hey, Shulfin, are you listening to the Jewish Hour? It's Purim, and with Purim, we kind of sort of do things a little sideways sometimes. Purim is coming up on the 12th of March, and as we get closer, we'll be talking about it. So, but before that, I reminded myself I have a public service announcement. Today, February the 19th, 3 to 6 p.m., Young Israel of Oak Park, the Chesed Expo. Activities for the entire family, featuring an afternoon of family fun. They'll even have food. Of course, I could have a Jewish anything without food. Catering is by Quality Kosher and the Chef Carey Food Truck. They'll be talking about different types of organizations that people can get involved with, volunteering and things how that you might take advantage of them, including the Friendship Circle, Tag Detroit Awareness Group, Hebrew Free Loan, Bridal Canopy, Jewish Vocational Services, Jewish Family Services, Jewish Senior Life, Naom, Chaverim, Hatzalah, Matan Beseser, Detroit Chesed, Yad Ezra, The Food Pantry, Project Eruv, Bikur Cholim Yachad, and Jewish Dental Clinic. It's free admission. Just show up at Young Israel, 15140 West 10 Mile Road, that's just east of Greenfield in Oak Park. Is your organization having an event? Send it off to rabbifinman.com, and we will announce it free of charge. Now, back to Purim. I have an older brother who was very much into a group when he was a young man, and I was a kid. He's 10 years older than me, 11 years older than me. And so he was very much into a group called The Loving Spoonful. John Sebastian, the leader of this group, was like his hero. He even cut his hair like John Sebastian and learned how to play the harmonica and the auto harp because of John Sebastian. So in memory of my brother David, we have up for you now a piece which is by not The Loving Spoonful, but The Loving Cohens, and it's called Nashville Cats.
Nashville Cats, they run the kosher deli. Nashville Cats, the only place in town. Nashville Cats, it's not like you're in Brooklyn. Nashville Cats, the only one around. Well, there's 1,352 different restaurants in Nashville, and you can eat anything from a hominy grit to a contact time pill. But there's only one place to get a half sour pickle or a corned beef sandwich in Nashville. Just ask anybody how to get the cats as if you're looking to eat well. About a year ago, it wasn't possible to find a kosher delicatessen. And the people said, Mr. Katz, won't you open up a place to press in? Well, it was a good idea for a Brooklyn boy to bring a kosher deli to Nashville. And when his bubba asked him who would eat his food, he said the Tennessee Folksville. They call him Nashville Katz. He runs a kosher deli. Nashville Katz, the only one in town. Nashville Katz, it's not like you're in Brooklyn. Nashville Cats, the only place around. Have a Yiddish dish, a potato knish, or a bagel and cream cheese. A little chicken soup, or a filter fish, with some carrots and green peas. If you can get through that,
Have a little chopped liver or a piece of herring in wine sauce. Then you can wash it down with a Dr. Brown. Shouldn't be a total loss. Eat, darling, eat. Nashville Cats, here on the kosher deli. Nashville Cats, the only place in town. Nashville Cats, it's not like you're in Brooklyn. Nashville Cats, the only one around. They also cater bar mitzvahs.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Harry Schultzman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. The portion of this week coming up, reading in the synagogue, is the portion of Mishpatim, chapter 21 and following. The vast majority of the portion deals with civil laws. It starts out with dealing with slavery of various different sorts and forms, and deals with theft, and deals with assault, and deals with injury, personal property, etc., all that stuff. At the end of the portion, Moses delineates the borders of Israel. Now remember, this is still before the sin of the golden calf. That doesn't happen for a couple of weeks yet in the portion and the chronology. These commandments were told to the Jewish people at Sinai. As they received the Ten Commandments, they received all 613 commandments. They just didn't realize it until Moses said, oh, by the way, there's this commandment about not hitting people. And everybody went, yeah, we heard God say that. Yeah. And Moses then went into specific details about not hitting people. At the end of the portion, there's a paradigm shift. Because now that the Jews have gotten the Torah, they're going to need to wait the 40 days for Moses to go up the mountain, get the tablets, come back down. They're going to pack up for 3 days at Sinai. They're still camped at Sinai. And they're going to take the 11-day journey into Israel. The Messiah is going to come. We're going to live happily ever after. So therefore, Moses comes down and tells them that, oh, by the way, these are your borders. Okay, now, so if we were to draw this out on a modern-day map, well, it says that the northern border is the Tigris River. Anybody who knows anything about geography knows that the Tigris River is actually east of Israel. It's one of the major rivers found in Iraq, which is due east. However, the river doesn't start in Iraq. The river actually starts in Turkey. So the northern border of biblical promised Israel is somewhere located in the middle of Turkey. So what does that do to, say, like, country of Lebanon? Forget about it. We know this. That's even easy. The country of Lebanon did not exist until 1919, when the Ottoman Empire was dissolved and the French decided, okay, we get Lebanon, you get Palestine, Brits. Anyway, so that's where Lebanon came from. But there was never, it was always referred to as the Lebanon because it was like the Bronx. It was north of Manhattan, yes. So the Lebanon was the area where they got all the cedar wood from, because the Lebanon is a cedar tree. So there's no country Lebanon. And then it says, well, the southern border is the Nile, which really much means including the entire Sinai Peninsula. The eastern border is the Persian Gulf. Well, what is that? What did we just do to, say, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, you know, all those other countries over there? Guess what? They're part of biblical Israel. And then the western border is the sea, which that's you can't really get around the Mediterranean, but it says, and all the islands in the sea also belong to biblical Israel. So that means, say, like Sicily, which is an island. It doesn't say anything about Italy because it's a peninsula. It says islands. So Sicily is an island. Rhodes is an island. Cyprus is an island. Crete is an island. All the islands, Corsica, going all the way to, oh, I don't know what the furthest, this is where my geography ends. The most western island in the Mediterranean, whatever that may be, is all part of biblical Israel. Now, Moses said, but you're not going to get it all at once, because maintaining infrastructure would have been just too difficult. There were not enough people to inhabit such a land. And they said, it says quite clearly that if you try to settle that sized portion of land, well, it's going to be really impossible to, like, keep out the wild animals. And you're going to have to deal with bandits and armed robbers and these type of things. And then you're going to have to maintain roads because, after all, there's still this idea of a pilgrimage three times a year. So you're going to have to maintain highways. So it says, as you need the property, you'll expand. So whereas now there's a talk of the Jews giving up the West Bank of Israel, technically speaking, the East Bank of the Jordan also belongs to Israel. In fact, we know that because what occupies now the Hashemite kingdom of Jordan actually was settled by the tribe of Reuben. They did not move into Israel proper. They stayed in Transjordan. They said, this is a great place. We have all these sheep and whatnot. We're going to stay right here. So forget about Jordan, not there. Now, what's this got to do with us? Because the Bible is not a history lesson. It's not a book of politics either. It's a lesson book for us in our personal daily lives. So what are we doing here now is who we are. Our goodness, quote unquote, is our land of Israel. What we need to do is expand it as necessary, you might say. It's going to take up our goodness, and what we're able to achieve, all the good in the world, is, it's Israel, it's what we are, it's what we should be doing. And we should be getting to the point where we need to expand our efforts. When Mashiach comes, people ask, how are you going to get all the Jews in Israel? Well, we'll probably need all of biblical Israel to do that. So ultimately, when we are increasing our goodness in the world, our own personal inner Israel, well, we'll need to expand. Speaking of expanding, we've got to take a quick commercial break. Don't go away. We got the Hasidic story coming up next. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? RabbiFinman.com. You'll find a way to contact me. You'll find archived editions of the radio show. You'll find other media in which I present Judaism in a hopefully entertaining and educational way. We also have the very important donations page. We are still paying for December. Okay. I actually got a look as I walked out of the studio last week from one of the administration, and I knew what the look meant. It was like, okay, you're behind 3 months. I have never been 4 months, and I don't plan on being 4 months. So you guys have to step up to the plate. It's up to you. You want to listen to the Jewish Hour? Sponsors do a little bit. Most comes from people like you. Go to the computer. Go to RabbiFinman.com. And click on the donations page. Become a continual giver. It's very easy. Just put in the number that you want to give every single month. And at that point, it doesn't matter. $5 a month is great. That's $60 a year. It's charged to your credit card automatically. Bada bing, bada boom. Wonderful. Don't like doing internet credit card stuff? I understand. Send your donation in any amount to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Speaking of Jewish Ferndale, which is the address 1725 Pinecrest, well, we got a bunch of things coming up. You missed it today. It's a little bit late, but every Sunday we do a Jewish Recovery 12-step meeting at 8:30 in the morning at 1725 Pinecrest. We will be starting yoga classes very soon. We have a class tomorrow night for beginners, Talmud at 8 o'clock, followed by Tanya for men. We finished the Tanya last week, and we are now starting over again from the beginning. So if you want to get in on that one, right at the ground, grassroots beginning, now's the time, 1725 Pinecrest. That would be at 9 o'clock. That one is for men only. The Talmud class is for men and women. And if you want to stick, if a woman comes and decides she wants to stick around for the Tanya class, fine. Gesundheit, as my grandmother would say. It's all good. We also have Purim coming up. Purim is March the 11th, 8:30 p.m. It's a Saturday night. We'll be doing a Megillah reading. I read the Megillah faster than anybody else in Ferndale. And we'll be showing Michael Chosid's animation film, The Purim Story, afterwards, complete with popcorn and hum and tashin, traditional Purim cookies. On March the 12th, which is the day of Purim, we'll be reading the Megillah again at 5 p.m. And the followed by an authentic Italian dinner with a photo presentation of Jewish Italy. And all that information is found on the Jewish Ferndale website. So go there. We got a minute and a half for this story, which is actually a 12-minute story. So recently, we want to mark the passing of Rabbi Shlomo Schwartz, who was one of the first Chabad rabbis to run a Chabad house on campus back in 1967 or 68, I'm thinking. And it was simply known by the world as Schwartzy. He was a beloved individual and a really wild guy. So he tells a story that he was invited to, this was part of his Rosh Hashanah service, as a matter of fact, sermon. I picked this up offline. He was invited to participate in Woodstock 2, which I believe was on the 40th anniversary of Woodstock. What were they going to do? The event was 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. So he and five other rabbis were to show up at the Woodstock event with 10,000 apples and a chauffeur to get people to understand that they should have a fruitful and sweet year and to let them know whatever percentage of Jews there were that Rosh Hashanah was coming. There was only one problem, is they never got permission from the organizers. So, but they pull up in this van. I probably would fit that it was a VW microbus, would have been perfect, but they've pulled up in this minivan with crates of apples. You know how much room 10,000 apples takes up? Crates and crates and crates of apples. And they went through every checkpoint and they said, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "We got the apples for the stage." And I was like, "Okay, go ahead." So finally they get to this one point where they can't go any further. There's like two more checkpoints, and this is like, there's this big bouncer of Afro-American persuasion. And this Shlomo Schwartz went up to him and said, "We should have a sweet year."
this is for to let people know that they should be blessed. He said, really? Come on down. And he led them through the next checkpoint. They threw apples, 10,000 apples, out into the crowd. They blew the shofar. They danced around. And everybody had a good and sweet year. That's going to do it for us. I'm going to thank you so much for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. Have a great week. We'll see you back again next week.